Sweetie, the Kingmaker is bringing men and women back together again by making men better mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. Welcome to the show, AD.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Got it. I'm going to try to make this concise. I can get wordy. I am a husband. I am a father. Me and my wife have been together now for 15 years. We've been married 6 years. Fun fact, we got married on Valentine's Day 2020 because, one, I wanted the math to be easy. So 6 years, 2026, very simple. And as you know, they want you to go all out for Valentine's Day, right? But if I put that on top of the anniversary, is like, it's really two things in one, and it's just Valentine's Day. So, you know, pro tip to anybody out there who wants to steal that. And I was a lot like a lot of the guys who I serve today, meaning I was a high earner, making six figures in the corporate space, or an entrepreneur, right? Followed all the conventional advice in terms of, you know, communicate more, help around the house. And what I really do believe, this is just a belief of mine, is that your life, my life, our life as men, especially successful men, is hard enough without additional challenges from the woman that we love, right? And I found myself in this position where, you know, we've been together so long, and her desire for me is lower than it's ever been. Like, I don't feel desired. I don't feel wanted. I don't feel special, right? If we are having sex, I'm having to initiate it all the time. Or I feel like I'm pursuing her, and like my feelings, who I am, right, they don't matter. And I went on a journey, a long 2 to 3 year journey. I would still consider myself on it, where I just went and I studied everything I possibly could about male nature, female nature, the differences, the similarities. And I studied all kind of relationships that had to do with men and women and sex. So if it would include men and women and sex, I studied it. Meaning I studied pickup artists, I studied pimps, I studied swingers, I studied men who have multiple wives, I studied wives who have multiple husbands. I studied it all just to understand the dynamics of it. And I've got, I know a certain guy who, when I say it, people say it sounds unbelievable, but it's very true. Dude has two, I think he has two daughters. He has two wives. He stays home. The women work. And he just reads books and shit. And I'm just like, okay, wait, what is this guy? Yeah, yeah. It's like, why am I working so hard? What does he know that I do not know? Right. And the way my mind works is like, it's fascinating. I have to continue down this path until I can make sense of this. Right. He's not beating his chest that he's a provider, right? Although there's nothing wrong with that. He's not, you know, super muscular, or he's actually in very good shape, but he's not like a bodybuilder or anything. He's not the kind of guy where if you were to see him walk down the street with like a t-shirt on, you wouldn't say, wow, he's just a regular looking guy. And so I study these things and I'm like, what does he know, right? And I'm not saying I'm on his level, but I've kind of boiled it all down to what I call the desire equation, right? And in my past life, I was a software engineer. And there's this old quote by Bill Gates that is very true. He said, if you want someone to get something done quickly, give it to an engineer, because they're going to find the lowest effort way to get it done so they can get back to doing whatever the hell they really want to do. Right. And so you hear all these things about what you need to do to make a marriage last and all these things, like you got to compromise, you've got to, you know, choose your battles, never go to sleep, and all this BS. I think about it from an engineering perspective. What is the minimum thing that I must do such that this woman desires me long term? And what I've found is that it comes down to three things, and those three things make up the desire equation, right? And of course, it's not comprehensive, because humans are complex, our brains are complex, our relationships are complex. But the desire equation gives you a simple way to understand it. And it has three variables, and all three of those variables are within your control. So now you know how to flip a switch. And the crazy thing about it, or the cool thing about it, is like you start to see the difference in that day or days, not weeks, not months. It doesn't require talking. It's the lowest effort thing that I've come up with. It's fun when you have a coach involved who can kind of walk you through it. Otherwise, it's scary, right? Yeah, So that's me. That's my work. That's what I do. And I wouldn't want to do anything else. I am obsessed about this.
Well, I appreciate the commitment and all the study. And I'm sure that you found a lot of fascinating things, probably some scary stuff, some wild stuff, and obviously a lot of practical stuff too.
Yes. Yes.
So the desire equation, I love equations. So I appreciate that. I also appreciate efficiency. What are the three things?
Yes. So the first part of the desire equation is respect, right? Now, respect is one of those vague words because it means so many different things to so many different people. And it's specific to contexts and cultures and things like that, right? So when I say respect, I don't mean like basic human dignity. When I say respect, I mean a mixture of two things: admiration and fear. Okay. Admiration, like, wow. Like when you see Jordan put up 60 points or something like that, like that's wow. And like, wow. Right. To some degree, you don't believe that you could do that, or you couldn't do that right now, or you couldn't do it as easily as that person made that look. Right. And then the second part of it is fear. Fear in the sense that, fear in a very general sense, like if you saw a bear in the woods, are you going to go out of your way to punch the bear?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want it to eat me.
You fear that it might harm you, right? So we respect the bear because of its ability, and we might even admire its strength, but we don't want its strength to be used on us. So that's respect. And people don't like that, but respect does include a healthy bit of fear. Even when we're talking about to our idols or our mentors, like if I was a NBA player and I'm coming up and I really want, you know, I've watched LeBron James play my entire childhood and I meet him, I do have a fear that he might not like me. Right. Does that make sense? Like, sure. And the fear might be that he might say, hey, don't you ever talk to me again, kid. Right. So like there is fear. I want to leave it at that. So respect is admiration and fear. OK. The second part of the equation is masculine behavior. OK. The cool thing about this is that you as a man are inherently masculine. Like this is not telling you to behave in a way that is unbecoming or unnatural to you. It is simply saying act in a way that is natural, right? And we all have a masculine side and a feminine side. Our feminine side is our feeling and our intuitive self, right? And our masculine side is our, I hope I said that right. Feminine is feeling, intuition. Masculine is thinking and doing, acting, right? And so masculine behavior, well, let's talk about feminine behavior. What is feminine behavior? Feminine is arguing. It's going back and forth. It's there's something she's doing that I don't like and I want it to stop. And I'm trying to use words, and words are not working. So I'm raising my voice. And so now I'm shouting, she's shouting, right? That's feminine behavior. That is not masculine, right? That is not something that a powerful person does. Okay. What else would be considered feminine behavior? Anything that's coming from a place of fear or emotion, right? So it might be jealousy, right? It might be insecurity. It might be indecisiveness. Anything that you like fear is involved in. And so now you're hesitating or you're unsure or you're, you know, there's something you, perfect example. You don't like her weight, but you don't, you know, she gets angry if you were to bring it up. So you just kind of tiptoe around it. That is feminine because you're not doing what you want. That's what I would say is the easiest way to tell if it's masculine or feminine behavior. Masculine is this is what I want to do, so therefore I do it. And if you let something stop you, 9 times out of 10, it's fear from doing what you want to do, where now fear is controlling you. Does that make sense?
It does.
So masculine behavior, the simplest way I put it for myself is simply do what you want to do. Right. This is a funny one. If you can try this, a lot of men, they don't understand that when their woman is upset or angry or sad or whatever, they think they have to do something. They have to fix it. Like there's some times where like my wife is, you know, talking about something I don't care about. And it's just like, I don't care. And I just walk away. That is masculine because I simply don't care. And I don't want to be a part of this conversation. I don't want to be rude. I don't want you to feel bad. But if you do feel bad, that's okay, because my job is not to make you happy and I can't control your feelings. If men could control women's feelings, we would push a button. We would make them happy all the time. Because that's not an option. I'm going to give you the opportunity to self-regulate and I'm going to leave the room. Like you don't have to fix her feelings. There's nothing wrong with her. She has the every emotion, just like you have every emotion. That is her God-given right to feel however she wants to feel. You don't have to be there for the conversation. She can feel it. It's okay, right? But if we, again, we let fear stop us and we're like, oh, well, I can't say that. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't go here. I shouldn't do that. You're now being bullied by her fear, right? I've got an analogy for that we'll come back to. So the first thing is respect, which is a mix of admiration and fear. The second thing is masculine behavior, which the rule of thumb is simply do what you want to do. Do what feels natural to you. Act, right? And the third one is kind of counterintuitive. It's distance. It's distance. She must have space to miss you. One of my guilty pleasures is ice cream, right? I love Blue Bell. I think it's mostly in the South. It is the best ice cream. I'm loyal to Blue Bell, okay? They had like a list. What is it? They had Listeria. Something was found in the ice cream. They took it off the shelf for months. I was so sad. As soon as it came back, I was right back. That's how loyal I am, right? And I love Blue Bell ice cream. I eat at least one small, you know, serving a week. But there are some times where I go like a month or two without having it. And I really, really, really want it because I've had so much space and distance between the last time that I had it. And then as soon as I have it, it was like, that was great. And then I go to bed, right? So my desire for it is basically gone because I just had it, type of a thing. And so distance is necessary because desire requires distance. Otherwise, we get too familiar. We get too complacent. We get too comfortable, right? And we start to take things for granted. And that's just our nature, right? That's your woman's nature as well. So you must put space in between you. And the opposite of that is smothering. The opposite of that is being clingy. The opposite of that is always looking to her and trying to make sure that her feelings are okay. Always being too considerate of her, being too thoughtful, being too willing to do what she wants you to do instead of what you want to do, and being unwilling to disappoint her. That's another thing that kind of falls in there. So you must disappoint your woman. Disappointment is a very important part of desire long term. Right. So those are the three variables. And I've seen this work in such short time. I'll give you an example. One of my clients, I think he and his wife both work in the military, and they would have their son's little league. No, it was football games on the weekends. Right. And he would tell me that they would go. He'd sit on this side of the bleacher. She's sitting far down there on the other side. And what does that communicate? Non-verbally. That's the other thing I say. Don't listen to what they say verbally. It'll just confuse you. Look at their actions, right? Non-verbally, she's communicating, I don't want to be next to you. I don't want to be seen with you. I don't want anything. I don't desire closeness with you, right? And so I said, well, what do you usually do? And he said, well, I kind of just tell her like, hey, I'm sad. That hurts my feelings that you don't want to sit next to me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, did that change it? And he's like, no, she just keeps doing it. Okay. So now we know words are not working. You've tried words. You've tried therapy. You've tried to do more chores around the house. You've tried to do all. Okay. Let's try something different. He said, great. What should I do? I said, what we're going to do is we must disappoint her. Okay. And I'm going to show you how three of the variables fit in here. I said, you must disappoint her. He said, how? I said, what is it that you do for her on a daily or a weekly basis that you know that she takes for granted and does not appreciate? He said that every week I go to the grocery store and I get us new mouthwash. Right. We have two separate mouthwashes. You know, when hers runs low, I'm trying to anticipate her needs. So I get her a new one. I said, great. Don't do that anymore. Stop buying mouthwash. Let hers run out. You use yours. And when hers runs out, she's probably going to ask you to use yours or try to use yours. And you look at her and you say, don't touch my shit. Okay. Do not touch mine. Right. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. I don't think it's going to work, but I'll do it. So he did that. Right. Oh, here's the other thing. There's, again, I'm trying to be concise. There's a technique that I call, or a framework that I call, grabbing your nuts. Okay. This is all meant to be very funny and it's supposed to be male-centric. So NUTS is an acronym. And I taught him the acronym up front. N is never, ever, 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 ever argue with your woman. Never. Never, ever, ever. Do you have any children? You do have children.
I do, right? Three kids.
Okay. Do you have any daughters?
I do. The youngest.
Okay. Okay. How old is she?
Three.
Okay. Would you ever stoop down to her level when she's upset and argue, go back and forth with her?
No.
Never, because it doesn't make sense. And I tell people, this is a man and woman thing, but women are more emotional, so it comes into play more with them. Whenever we get upset, the anger that we felt as a child is the same way that we feel anger today. So we turn into child versions of ourselves. So no matter what emotion she has, you are best to just view her as a child. Like, view her as your 3-year-old daughter. And it's like, well, what would I do here? I would probably just laugh and say, you're silly, and kiss her on the forehead and just keep walking. That, I'm telling you, that one thing will take the desire through the roof. Just try it and report back to me. Okay. So N is never, ever, ever, ever argue. You, and I'm not trying to sound controversial, this is how I remember it. You is understand that your woman needs chaos. Just assume it. She needs chaos. And the reason for this is that by nature, a woman is unsatisfiable. Her very nature is unsatisfiable. Do you, when you hear me say that, do you challenge that? Do you think that sounds okay? Okay. So you already agree.
I do.
For the people who don't. Okay. Think about it this way. You, how old are you? If you don't mind me asking.
47.
Okay. You're 47. And at what age do you anticipate waking up and saying, you know what? I've had enough good days. I don't need to feel good anymore. I can just be depressed and, you know, kind of just walk around in a funk for the rest of my life. What age do you anticipate coming to that conclusion?
Never.
So your desire to feel good is insatiable, right? The feminine part of you, even though you are a masculine being, the feminine part of you is insatiable. Now imagine you being a feminine being. They always want more. They always want more. And so when I say they need chaos, what I mean is they always want more, and that wanting is free and giving is expensive. And so it is your job to tell her no. Use it often. It should be the most prevalent word in your household. No, 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 no. Right. And so when by communicating no, what are we doing? We're communicating that I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you leaving. I'm not afraid of your emotions. I'm in charge here. And what this does is it makes her feel safe. And the craziest part about it, she's going to bitch and moan in the moment. In the immediate, she's going to be upset. But long term, she's going to respect you and be desiring of you. Right. But if you say yes right now, she's going to smile. And long term, she's going to dislike you. She's not going to respect you because she doesn't feel as though you can stand up to her. Right. Long story short, he did that. He made a few other changes. And we were talking this about 2 weeks later. And I'm asking for an update. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, man, I'm in the living room and I'm working. And she just like is orbiting me. She just won't leave me alone. Like, she doesn't want anything, but she's just around. I'm like, oh, so she's closer now. What about that football game? She's like, yeah, she sits right next to me. Interesting. Her nonverbal communication is communicating, I want to feel close to you. So I gave him a bit more homework. We talked the next week. I said, what's going on? He was like, bro, we just had some of the most mind-blowing sex ever. And it all started because you started to disappoint her. And the type of man who can't disappoint his woman is the type of man who's afraid of losing her, meaning he won't tell her no because he doesn't want to deal with the brunt of her emotion. He doesn't want to potentially have another man say yes to her. And now it's all fear. It's all fear based. Right. So you are afraid of her. Right. It's almost like, imagine you have a dog. If you're afraid of your dog is certainly not afraid of you. Right. Like, you want her to have fear. You'd rather her fear you than you fear her. If that makes sense. Right. And so that was one of the earlier times where I was like, okay, what were the smallest I didn't have him do anything. I didn't have him spend any money. I didn't say take her on any dates. In fact, I said, do less than what you're currently doing. You're probably doing too much. Do less, because you're probably being taken for granted. So, I also told him, don't call her all day. Don't text her all day. Like, put distance, right. And just do more of what you want to do. I said, name me three activities, or at least one activity, that you stopped doing because you didn't want to hear her mouth. Every man, every husband has at least one of those activities. He said, it's going to the gym, playing basketball. That's my happy place. I said, great. Go to the gym once a week and play basketball. Block her. Do not answer calls. You are just out. Don't even tell her where you're going. Just go and just spend time away. Right. And when she gets back, oh, I didn't finish the nuts. I'm sorry. Never, ever argue. Understand.
One second.
Understand that she needs chaos. Right. T is the technique, right? T is, it stands for techniques. It stands for theatrics. If you're a younger millennial like myself and you ever watch Yu-Gi-Oh, it stands for trap card, right? So this is something that like you do when you don't know what the fuck else to do, okay? She's upset, she's angry, whatever, and you're just caught off guard, like, what do I do, okay? This is an emotional problem. This is not a logical problem. We don't use logic here, we use emotions, okay? So here's what you do. You, and this is not patronizing, like you do this and you mean it, but even if you don't do it, you still mean it, okay? You drop your voice to a low tone, like a Barry Manilow, and you say, aw, this is all scientific. I got all this shit from books. I didn't come up with any of this myself, by the way, right? You say, aw, poor baby. Those are the only words you use. Step one in the theatrics. You say, aw, poor baby. You hug her. You kiss her on the forehead. And then you walk away. You just walk away. Because what's going on in this moment is her emotions are dysregulated. And I want to teach you to regulate them using as few words as possible. Aw, poor baby. Three words. Hug, forehead kiss, walk away. Those are theatrics. I promise you it solves all problems. It solves all problems. It's stupid simple. It sounds so simple. This shit's never going to work. I promise you it works, right? And then S in the nuts is set the expectation. This is optional, but it does help. And so you basically tell her what to do next. You tell her what's about to happen next. So you say, aw, poor baby, forehead kiss. Hey, babe, I can tell that this is challenging for you. You're having a hard time. Here's what we're going to do. I've got work to do right here, right now. But what I want you to do is go lay down and take a nap. That works perfectly. I always tell them to take a nap. They need naps. They're cranky, right? If the naps work for your daughter, I promise you they work for your wife. Or you could say, because the goal is to just get her to leave you alone in the immediate, right? And then we'll come back to this later. And the perfect thing you can say is, hey, I can tell you're worked up. Go get some food. Go drink some water. Go take care of yourself. And then tonight, I want you to meet me in the bedroom. And I want you to lay on my chest. And you can tell me all about it. Or you say, my favorite thing is lay on my chest and we lay in silence. Because a hug communicates you're safe. I care about you. I love you without words. And laying, literally, you can go look up the research. Letting your woman lay on your chest does so many good things for her biology. She feels so close to you. She feels warm. She feels protected. It does way more than any word would ever do. So less words, more hugs, more kisses, more chest laying. And I promise you, if you just implement those things, everything becomes so much easier.
I love me a good framework. And yes, and these are great. I love the equation. I love nuts. And I appreciate walking us through those steps. And I can see these aren't hard, but I can see how they're very, 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 very powerful. And I appreciate you doing all that research and sort of boiling it all and distilling it all down.
Yes. Yes. This is my life work. And I'm actively in the process of using all the same things that I'm telling the people about.
Oh, I love it. Well, Ed, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more? How can people engage with you?
Yes. So if you are on any of the social medias these days, the TikToks, the Instagrams, it's at AD the Kingmaker. You can find me on all platforms at that, especially on YouTube. I have a lot of long form content there. And if you are looking to get some one-on-one coaching on how to implement this in your marriage and you know, with you and your wife's particular scenario, then you can reach me at the30dayfix.net. That is the word the numbers 30dayfix.net.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show AD your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Find AD the Kingmaker on social media, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, at AD the Kingmaker. Go to the30dayfix.net. numbers 30 spelled out dayfix.net and get more into it. And like everything else, it's one thing to be able to learn these things, but then quite another to actually get coached and to help with the implementation piece, because that's oftentimes the most difficult. And especially when we're talking about something as sensitive as your relationship with your spouse, some coaching definitely helps. So thanks again, AD.
Thank you.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.